Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. And it's been a day of incredible sports headlines. Just incredible. And Aaron Hernandez facing first-degree murder charges. Then in terms of actual competition, the Roger Federer and Maria Sharapova both knocked out today at Wimbledon. Brian Cashman getting into it with Alex Rodriguez. Yeah, it's all going well. And Kevin still has a rant. And he's mad about Oregon.
No, not about Oregon. Because it sounds like that. Then I'm putting the blame on Oregon, and I don't put the blame on Oregon. What they did was wrong, but the blame goes to Indianapolis and the four-letter organization that runs college sports.
Well, you obviously... Is this a preview of your rant of the day?
I think I've been ranting all down the last hour and 10 minutes about this, about the rant of the day, actually.
Well, just keep cool. Keep cool. Let's talk a little Phillies baseball. That usually keeps your blood pressure down, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, that does.
Good. Well, let's bring in our good friend, Chris Wheeler. From the coast, Wheels, welcome. It's great to have you back on board.
Yeah, I'm good, Steve. I'm Lamont. I'm in a hotel room, and the phone never rang, and I just saw the voicemail on here. So I thought, this guy's calling me this morning, or I do something wrong. Hi. I'm fine. Nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you as well. Charlie Manuel, and I think it was a couple of weeks ago, and I'm paraphrasing, and if I don't quite have it right, just tell me. Basically said, hey, there are a lot of ways we're actually playing about as well as we can play right now. Was that about what he said, and do you actually see the same thing that he's saying?
Yeah, that was good, Steve. I mean, that's basically what he said. You know, it comes down to, look, this is what I have. I can move guys around in the lineup. I can hope I get guys back off the disabled list. But then there comes a point that you either do what's on the back of your baseball card or you don't, or some of these guys don't have anything on the back of their card to indicate that they're going to do a whole lot. So that's what it comes down to, whether or not this is even a 500 team right now, which it isn't. That's the thing out there, let alone a team that's going to go to postseason play, and that's a long way down the road. So, yeah, there's a lot of problems. And one thing about Charlie is getting to the point where he's just tired of hearing the same thing over and over, and that you're trying to create more out of what there is here right now.
And you can only be a magician up to a point.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of the, you'll love this story. I'm sitting at the 6-4 game a few years ago with Iowa, which I'm sure you will never forget, where Michael Robinson was our number one wideout that day. So
yeah.
Nothing against Michael Robinson, but it wasn't really stretching the field,
yes,
to say the least.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, and Senator Santorum happened to be beside me in the governmental affairs box, and Fran Ganner came in later in the game, and Senator Santorum was very upset about what was going on with the game and the coaching and this, that, and the other thing, and Fran Ganner looked at him, and he said, Senator, have you considered the fact that maybe their players are better than ours? And I thought that was really well put, and as somebody who has been in the business for a long, long time, sometimes you're not as good as people think you are, and you have to try and do the best you can with what you have. And that always makes me think back to that day when that happened with Fran Ganner. I love that.
What? I have a follow-up story for you. from that game. Now remember Kirk Ferentz like deliberately took a safety knowing a field goal could beat him because he didn't think they were going to get a position to get a field goal.
Right.
Well, the next day I go to Boston because I had tickets to game two of the World Series. And, of course, I know you have great fondness for Curt Schilling, and Schilling pitched that game. That was the Bloody Sock 2 game.
Right.
So I go up there, and it's 47 degrees, and I'm wearing layers. And the one thing I had, Wheels, that would fit over this was this Penn State basketball jacket. So I sit down. I'm five rows off the field at the pesky pole. And so I go to sit down. The usher wipes off the seat. He looks at the jacket, and he says, 6-4. My God, that game was awful. What?
That's beautiful. And I know the feeling, you can't escape it sometimes.
And so I gave him some innocuous, you know, it didn't go well kind of deal that every announcer gives. You know, you've been there a thousand times.
Yeah.
All right. And he says, well, that game was terrible. And the guy I went with, Patrick Scholl, who got the tickets, says, well, imagine announcing it.
That's exactly right. Sometimes you're just in a situation where you know it's not going to go well.
No.
And you can only do so much and report it. And people are not sitting there to listen to you hiss and moan about how bad everything is. You know, you just have to – it's hard to explain that to people. People say to me all the time, how come you stay so calm and logical during a game? I said, you ought to hear me during the breaks. And I'm sure you and Jack go through the same thing.
Yes.
You know exactly what I mean by that.
Sure, so, I do.
We're very human when we do what we do for a living. And when things aren't going well, we can't be a fan on there or a talk show host when we're on the air. But between innings, we can be.
Yeah, sure. Well, he looks at me and he says, imagine announcing it. And he says, who did that? And he points at me. He says, I'm so sorry. And I said to him, I said, don't be. I got paid.
Yeah. Well, that's another good point. When people say to me, you know, things are not out of laughs this year for you and everything. And I after 42 jobs, Steve, I still always say, well, it beats a real job.
You got that right. One thing I really like, and I'll get to the club in a moment. When I watch you go through, you know, I know you want the Phillies to win, but boy, do you give quality athletes that aren't Phillies a lot of positive pub. And I mean, that tells me right away, knows the game, gets the game, and understands the other guy does something right.
Well, yeah, I really appreciate you saying that. You know, from your standpoint of that's something that you just do. It just comes natural to you if you understand and appreciate your sport. And I've had problems with players over the years, more so when I first started than now, because I don't really care what they say to me anymore. But back in those days, you know, when I was younger and I wanted them to be my friends and all that, it used to bother me a little bit. And they would come up to me and say, boy, you were really this, that, and the other thing about so-and-so last night. And my reaction back then was kind of, well, you know, if you gave me more to talk about, I'd talk more about you, you know, that type of thing. But I am a fan. I love baseball, and I really appreciate how hard the darn game is to play at this level. And when you excel at it or you do things right, I really think you should point it out, whether it's your player or the other. So every once in a while, someone will say that to me. So thanks, Steve. I really appreciate that. Because, you know, I hear you guys, you know, when you're from Penn State's playing somebody and they have a superb athlete down, you just kind of shake your head sometimes and just say, wow, that guy does things you don't teach.
Yeah, no question about that. With the club, the on-base percentage thing, it's always – everyone looks at batting average, team batting average, but I've always found there's a direct correlation between on-base percentage and runs scored. Are the Phillies – is it that they're not patient enough at the plate because they can't seem to get that kind of traction of getting enough guys on base to then set up an inning?
Well, you're absolutely right. And then on-base percentage is one of those things that is not a real sexy stat and that people don't think a whole lot about, but it's what sets up wins in many ways. For example, our club with three runs or less, you know, get tired of using that number, but it's 40 or 41 games or whatever it is. Last night, and I know most people, you know, they were watching it through their eyelids, so they didn't see what happened, but they did a very good job. One of our keys of the game that we put out there for every telecast, we do these keys of the game, and one of them was trying to make Marquis, Jason Marquis, bring the ball up because he's a sinker changeup guy. Loves to get the ball down, get you to chase, hit ground balls, and those kind of things. And they did a very good job last night as the game went along of making him throw strikes. He wasn't. Dominic Brown, for example, walked with the bases loaded. I can't remember the last time a Philly walked with the bases loaded, those kind of things, without getting antsy and trying to do too much. So, yeah, absolutely. And last night was one of the few times all year that on-base percentage came into play. And you look up, and what happened? They scored six runs.
Right, and that's big. The quality start thing, I know it's a bad stat, but the Phillies eat up a lot of innings with their starters, which is good because it reduces the middle relief innings. When the Phillies won in 2008, those guys in the middle part all had career years. I think that's safe to say.
And you have to have that. Right. You have to have that because nowadays, you know, if your starters don't go deep into games, especially with our kiddie core bullpen we have out there right now, we got problems.
Yeah. Of the younger guys that you're seeing out there, are you seeing some positives out of some of the younger guys from the Phillies, the guys that, you know, they've been on that that Lehigh Valley to Philadelphia shuttle?
Well, there's positives, but there's nothing out there right now that I can honestly say to you, yeah, you can plug this guy in the seventh, eighth inning in tough situations. For example, J.C. Ramirez came up the other day, struck out the side on Sunday. Nice, really nice, good to see. The score was 7-1. My feeling in baseball always has been when a guy does something, tell me what the score is and where you are in the game, and then you get a better feel of what that meant or what it didn't mean. So, no, not right now, Steve. There really isn't anybody. But starters improved a little bit, and then he goes out there in the ninth inning last night and throws 30 pitches to try and get the three outs with a four-run lead. So you go, well, there he regresses again, those kind of things.
Right.
So, no, there's nothing out there right now that leads you to believe that you have guys out there that are going to step up and be big-time guys in the late innings. Is there talent out there? Yeah, when you look at Diekman's arm, when you look at Almonte's arm and those kind of things, sure. You look at DeFreitas, they all have ability. But this game is so hard, and the pressure mounts so much as you get into the late innings and try to get out. You find out about guys when you get into those situations when it really means something.
The Cole Hamels deal, with when the Phillies score runs, he gives up runs.
Yeah.
When they don't score runs, he knuckles down. How bizarre is this to watch a guy that you know is a quality pitcher go through this?
It's ugly. It really is. The one thing I keep saying to everybody is that it's kind of like Lee last year when he was going through it and then it turned around for him.
Yeah.
Would you look at a guy and you say, is he hurt? Okay, he's not hurt. Lee wasn't hurt, so he thought this will turn around because he's too good. And Hamels is not hurt, so you keep thinking this is going to turn around because he's healthy, and it hasn't. Now, this is a ballpark tonight where he's really pitched well. He's from here, and sometimes guys are terrible when they come back to their hometown because they're so distracted by all the stuff that goes on. But he's pitched really well here. It's a big ballpark, and even though the fence is in a little bit, Steve, it's still really big here. So he's really had a good record here over the years in this ballpark. So, you know, hopefully, you know, going up against a kid tonight they've never seen before, who's had three major league appearances, sometimes that's good and bad. So this one sets up tonight where you think, yeah, maybe he can get back on track. But what you just said is so true. The other night he had 3-0 lead against the Mets, and he's given up hits late in the game and late in the bottom of the order and those kind of things, the guys that really shouldn't hurt him and did. We don't know what to say about him. He goes out there and he has great stuff. To me, he picks a little bit some nights. He's trying to be too fine because he thinks, I can't give up anything right now because we can't score and all that psychological stuff that comes into play. And he has to get past this.
Getting Chase Utley back from the disabled list, has it helped stabilize the lineup a bit?
Yeah. It's good to have him back because he's such a good player. That Charlie really wants to hit him three. That's what he is. He's your three-hole hitter, but he can't necessarily because Howard's four and Brown's moved into that five spot, and then you're three straight left-handers, and you know what I mean by that. You really set up the other guy's bullpen for later in the game, or if you have a left-handed starter, you certainly can't do it. So, yeah, they really like having him back, but they don't necessarily like him hitting two in the order because they think he's more suited to hit third. But right now, just to have him back in the lineup, have his energy – have those eyes staring at somebody during a game when it means something, as opposed to him going nuts on the bench when he can't play, really helps.
Hey, it's always great talking with you, and appreciate it very much. And you know, the message on the phone is just it's not the front desk telling you owe something.
yeah. Well, I appreciate it. I'm sure you're doing some stuff on the way. The NCAA really came down hard on Oregon today. I'm sure that'll be part of your.
Yeah, no, it's I mean to see them on their heels like that. I mean that one scholarship each year, I think probably will change the balance of power of the Pac-12.
I can't imagine how they can compete with that. That's just, you know, that was
I think
that probation is brutal too. You know, I don't know how they'd be able to do it. It's
We've learned a valuable lesson, Wheels. I think we've learned a lesson that if you hire a recruiting service and they help recruit for you. Or, for example, if you have a make-believe class that has 19 football players in it at a Southern school, you're okay.
Well, you know, it drives me nuts, and I think the university is doing a great thing taking the high road. But having been in that situation myself at times, the high road can get a little lonely sometimes. So it's always nice when something like that happens today and people like you can maybe fire on a little bit, or do what you just did, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and sometimes that's better.
that's high road with humor.
Yeah, well, it's probably the best way to go in life, but sometimes it's not fun.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Well, we'll stay in touch. Thanks, and Steve. I know you'll have some football questions for me down the road.
Yeah.
You know how to reach me, my man.
Yeah, and if you ever want to come down, let me know and tell Fitz and Butler. I'm waiting to hear from them.
In fact, I'm coming down with friends on the 14th next month for the White Sox game, so I'll be at least in the neighborhood. I'll be at the game.
Well, please, let me know you're there so we can catch up.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay, Steve.
Thanks, Wheels. Chris Wheeler with us on the show. All right, so, I mean, at the end, it got a little personal back and forth. Okay, all right. I'm going to the game on the 14th. Kevin's not going.
No, that's okay, though. You're going to bring me back the insulated mug, so we're fine.
I'm not bringing you back any insulated mug.
Can you have Wheels sign it for me?
Oh,
wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's against your against your scruples.
My scruples?
You don't like that word?
I don't know if it's against my scruples.
Okay.
I don't think it's very professional. How about that?
All right. Well, that's a good one. All right.
I mean, it would be like, I mean,
I was looking for the 25
cent word. Are we going to leave Pocono? I can tell you one thing. When we leave Pocono, one of us won't be having any autographs with any Andretti's or any, you know, or Almendingers or, you know, Castroneves's or anything like that. I mean, one of us won't be. I know that.
Well, yeah, I've decided that I'm not going to. I mean, you can get them all for us, so that'd be great.
I could what?
I said you'll be able to get them all for this because I'm not going to this time. Yeah, so yeah, that's the one of us that
I have a suggestion for you. Okay. A legitimate suggestion for you.
Uh huh.
Okay. Uh-huh. That if you do that, that you do that and then you donate it to the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament for their silent auction next year.
I would do that. I would do that.
All right. Tomorrow, Patrick Chambers, Mike Muscala. Friday, Tony DeFazio. Next week, Bill O'Brien. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia has 10 days to sell 50 more new Kias. The only way this will happen is to, number one, lower all selling prices. Number two, increase all trade valuations. Number three, give you the lowest interest rate you deserve. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2013 Kia Soul starting at $14,824 with interest rates starting at 1.9%. Built in the USA, 2013 Optimas are discounted up to $5,000 with selling prices starting at $19,998 and 0% financing available for 60 months. Remember, every new Kia
Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. Motor Trend's number one-rated full-size sedan, the 2014 Kia Cadenza, is in stock, ready to bathe you in luxury. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Kia's are rental and start Optima. GDI models are assembled in the United States from U.S. and globally sourced parts. Must qualify for special incentives. And KMF bonus cash to be applied. Not everyone qualifies for low financing.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
On a day where Aaron Hernandez was let out of his house, and then many people thought he was going to be charged with obstruction of justice, it turned out he's not charged with obstruction of justice. Turns out he's charged with the murder. He's charged with first-degree murder and 5 gun charges. Oregon gets a slap on the wrist, but it actually gives the term slap on the wrist a bad name. And Roger Federer and Maria Sharapova out at Wimbledon. We now transition to the Kevin Herr rant of the day.
You find this interesting, Steve, the person who was representing Oregon, the Kansas-based attorney, Mike Glazer, is a former NCAA investigator. Wonder if that had anything to do with the leniency that Oregon received earlier today. And by the way, you're always talking about, you know, punishing those that committed the infraction. Kelly got an 18-month show clause, all right? What does that mean? That means after 18 months, he's okay. He's in the NFL. That is the most useless punishment ever because it doesn't, the way I understand it, technically start when he comes back to the NCAA, if he does. It actually runs now. So he's under contract with Philly. If something actually goes bad, the show clause expires, December 25th or so in 2014. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Okay. Is there more?
No, well, I, like I said, I've been on this all through the program, but that was the end of said rant, or the final tally.
You said you had another question before we get to our guests. I couldn't blow the guests off. We've been promoting them for a couple
Absolutely.
Of days.
Well, that was my question. If I'm correct, that 18-month show clause order runs starting now.
Right.
When exactly. He's not in the NCAA anyway.
Right.
That is ridiculously stupid. All right. I'm going to use the S word stupid, because it absolutely punishes nobody. There is no punishment in this whatsoever, except for one person who's not going to get a scholarship, who might have gotten a scholarship in the next 2 years, one person each year. And that's who's getting punished. That's it.
Yep.
I think. The NCAA I think we deserve a really nice explanation from the NCAA.
You're not going to get it.
And I know that. Because there is absolutely no one that can bring the NCAA to task on this. Nobody.
Well, the NCAA has a major issue that they have to handle, and that is the Ed O'Bannon case. Still waiting to find out whether past players are eligible for money, whether it extends to current players or not, whether it's going to be just tossed out altogether. So...
I think, and we've had him on the show several times from CBSSports.com and CBS Radio Sports, Dennis Dodd. He actually had one of his blogs today said if the NCAA Enforcement Director, I love that title, by the way, wanted to dream, an example would have been made of Oregon, rightly, fairly. Mark Emmert did it spectacularly unfairly with Penn State.
Is that what he wrote?
Yes.
Okay.
2 years after writing this, the lead still stands. Oregon can't be this dumb. That's how he finishes the paragraph.
College basketball block charge, by the way. There's been a change to the interpretation of it, which I think is a great move. With the rule change, a defensive player cannot draw a charge after an offensive player starts his upward movement to pass or shoot. Currently, a defensive player needs to be only in position before the player jumps. High degree of difficulty call, this helps them out. It's a slight difference, but they think it's going to help referees. I think it's more than a slight difference. I think it's a smarter move. Women's basketball is going to have a change as well. Women's basketball is going to have a 10-second backcourt rule. They've never had it.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, I've always known that one. I mean, the rules are different. I mean, the ball's smaller. There's no 10-second. Well, it wasn't always that way, but the ball's smaller. It's been that way for 25 years, which means it's easier to put in the basket. And no 10-second backcourt rule and a 30-second shot clock. So.
By the way, am I the only one? I mean, Steve, you're playing even keel, which I understand. I mean, you're kind of on the feeling on Oregon. I understand I'm the one that seems to be enraged a little bit more, which is okay. My question is, am I the only one? I mean,
You heard Wheels.
Well, yeah, well, that's true. But this is an opportunity for people to call in on the Hilscher's General Store hotline and tell me if I'm the only one at 800-795-9565.
Everybody feels the same way about it around here. And obviously people across the spectrum of college football, Stuart Mandel, Dennis Dodd, all feel the same way. They kind of looked at the Oregon thing and went, you have to be kidding me, right?
Well, then let me ask you this. As fans, as members of the NCAA for the universities, is it time to look for a new leader or leadership structure in the NCAA? And how do you go about doing that when the NCAA basically right now rules all, knows all, sees all, and can do whatever they want?
Well, but I think they need to make a change in philosophy as to how they do this. And the philosophy change has to be you target the individuals who are guilty of breaking the rules. Unless it's an SMU case where it was across the board and everybody was involved. I thought they were going in that direction a couple of years ago when with Jim Tressel and the five Ohio State players, because they botched that by allowing them to play in the Sugar Bowl game, then starting the season with five game suspensions. Thought, what the heck? All right. And then Jim Calhoun was suspended for three Big East games by the NCAA. So I thought they were going in that direction. And then stopped. In other words, when it came to the UConn thing, they did not put UConn on probation and knock them out of this, that. They did that with the APR part of it. But they let them go to the NCAAs, but they suspended Jim Calhoun for three games. And three Big East games, not just three games, but three Big East games. And I thought, wow, okay, now they're finally going about it the way I think you should. Instead of penalizing the program, penalize the individual.
If I'm a college football program or someone in a college football program, I look at this going, okay, I could really build up my program by doing this, even though it's illegal and a violation. It's going to cost me one scholarship this year, one scholarship next year. That's a price I'm willing to pay. Not that I'm condoning cheating, but let's be honest. That's a price worth paying in some football programs, including Oregon, the way it seems.
Well, not only that, though. I mean, look, there are two basic things that bring with it major scrutiny and potential major violations. And they happen to be, well, three things. One, illegal recruitment of players, where you circumvent the system, and then inducements, money, cars, whatever. And the other one is academic fraud to keep people eligible. The old joke about basket weaving and they can play on Saturday?
Right.
Okay, well, when you sit there and you hear about a, quote, recruiting service, and, you know, and LaMichael James gets steered to Oregon, and the other back gets steered, the one that's now at Baylor, steered to Oregon as well. I'm sorry, that's a how many teams that LaMichael James play against that he hurt? And then you look at the North Carolina thing. Well, that class was available to everybody. Well, why is it one class had 19 students in it, 18 were current North Carolina players, and one was a former North Carolina player? You can't go through these things and sit in an office and think everybody's stupid. Because what you're going to find out is everybody's is on to you more than you realize. You can't sit there and just assume the world is dumb. One of the players involved in this thing is LaMichael James. Now, he's with the 49ers. But LaMichael James was in the running for the Heisman Trophy, for goodness sakes. He was an absolutely critical player to Oregon's success. He wasn't a bit player in Oregon's success. He was a major player in Oregon's success. And the North Carolina thing, I'm sorry, that's the academic integrity is being called into question, which then brings with it eligibility. Randy in Sealands Grove on the Hilscher's General Store hotline at 800-795-9565. Hi, Randy.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
I'm well. How are you?
Hey. I was fine. I was just wondering, back in the 80s, I remember the college football was CFA. It was College Football Association. Was that something different than the NCAA?
College Football Association was put together as a conglomerate to negotiate television contracts. And that's why they did it. Chuck Ninus, who's been the commissioner of the Big 12, Joe Paterno was heavily involved in this. And the CFA was a series of schools that, after the Oklahoma and Georgia lawsuit was won by Oklahoma and Georgia against the NCAA and opened the door for television, this group of schools, the College Football Association, then negotiated a contract television-wise to benefit those member institutions. So that's really what the CFA was.
Well, maybe, you know, getting these super conferences, maybe we should just have a super conference govern themselves. It seems like the NCAA, they overstepped their bounds quite a bit. And I don't know about this Oregon deal, but maybe Nike money had something to do with the leniency?
I don't know. I have no idea what led to this decision. I don't know what led to the lack of a decision involving North Carolina. There are just certain things that are just red flags right away that say, okay, in the spirit of what an NCAA violation is, that's an NCAA violation. And those two scream out based on what you hear evidence-wise.
But then we go on the Penn State, you know, side, and there was no NCAA violation. I mean, there was no...
Right,
no,
exactly.
And something's not right. I mean, it's... They just got to do something about it because, you know, they got to be fair about this whole thing.
Well, so far, fairness. Okay, let's talk about fairness for a moment. Okay, obviously, what the victims went through is unfair to the nth degree in life, and we know that. Okay, that's established.
But the kids are punishing.
Right, that's established.
Had nothing to do with it.
Exactly right, Randy. You confine it to those who are guilty parties. The person found guilty is in prison.
That's right.
Now, other people have yet to face justice yet. We don't know what the truth is yet, thus we can't assign fairness yet. And the Free Report, used as the basis for this, again, did not talk to Tim, didn't talk to Gary Schultz, didn't talk to Joe Paterno, didn't talk to Mike McQuarrie, okay? But then issued a report when the people that can at least give you context, pro or con, aren't in the report. And now you have sanctions based on a report that doesn't talk to the individuals that are accused. So there's, I think what everybody wants, Randy, logically, is they want the truth and then they want fairness. We don't have the truth, and we don't have the truth yet, so we can't assign fairness yet.
Yeah, but the NCAA, when they go with their investigation, so they get done with the investigation, the perpetrators are either gone or it's a different class. I mean, the coach bails out as soon as he finds there's a little bit of trouble going on. And, you know, I don't know. It just don't seem quite right.
And, Randy, and I think the point you're making is about USC.
Yeah.
Everyone knows, obviously, and I made it plain, Lane Kiffin, so far in his career, has not met the hype of what people think his career has been. It just hasn't met the muster. But despite that statement, and despite the fact that his career is nowhere near what people thought it was going to be, it's still unfair of him to take that job and have 75 scholarships to work with. He didn't do anything wrong. And those 70 to 75 young people that are left in the USC program, they did nothing wrong.
That's correct.
And you have to worry about an investigation that during the investigation, they are told point blank that a football player and a basketball player receive money from the L.A. County Comptroller's Office. And the NCAA, quote, investigates and finds nothing. Well, after the sanctions are done and the whole thing, it comes out, oh, yeah, it happened. Okay. And they can't go back and do anything about it because the investigation's closed. So their investigator, being told about it, completely missed it.
Yeah.
So,
well, do you think Chip Kelly left because he knew this investigation was going to come down on him? Or?
That's a good question, Randy. But you know what? He ended up in a great financial situation and a great situation with the Eagles anyway. And he had been, his name had been thrown around the NFL the year before anyway. So, you know.
Yeah, but I think college, you know, is a better deal than NFL. NFL, you got owners and, you know, you got people breathing down your back more than the schools.
Well, if you're doing well in college, you really can kind of keep things going your own way. In the NFL, there are very few people that have a job for life. Belichick's doing well, but, you know, he got fired in Cleveland, so, you know.
That's true. Well, we'll just have to just see what happens.
Well, Randy, we are seeing what's
happening.
Randy, we are seeing what's happening. And look, the problem the NCAA has is this. You can't do a series of things and assume that the general public and the media are stupid. You can't.
Yes.
You have to respect the people that are watching what you're doing and reporting on what you're doing and be responsible stewards to it. And I think you have to call into question how responsible they've been.
Well, I don't think they're not responsible. I don't think they care what the people think. I think it's like a dictatorship. I mean, they rule their iron fist sometimes, and next time they'll just pat them on the back and say, that's too bad.
Well, the O'Bannon thing may change that. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Randy.
Kevin was ranting, and I was coming home from work, and I was ranting, too.
Good. I don't want to be the only one.
Yeah.
You aren't.
It's just not fair. It just gets you.
I know.
So,
as soon as somebody can explain to me what Tyler Ferguson, John Urschel, Zach Zwinak, Mike Hull, and Bill O'Brien did to not go to a bowl game,
Exactly.
As soon as somebody can explain to me what they did, I'll be willing to sit there and listen to them.
They did nothing. There's nothing they did.
Exactly right. All right. We have to take a hard break.
Okay.
Thanks, Randy. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia has 10 days to sell 50 more new Kias.
The only way this will happen is to,
number one,
lower all selling prices.
Number two,
increase all trade valuations.
Number three,
give you the lowest interest rate you deserve. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2013 Kia Souls starting at $14,824. With interest rates starting at 1.9%. Built in the USA, 2013 Optimas are discounted up to $5,000. With selling prices starting at $19,998 and 0% financing available for 60 months. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. Motor Trend's number one-rated full-size sedan, the 2014 Kia Cadenza, is in stock, ready to bathe you in luxury. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Kia's a rental and certain Optima. GDI models are assembled in the United States from U.S. and globally sourced parts. Must qualify for special incentives. And KMF bonus cash to be applied. Not everyone qualifies for low financing.
Well, what Penn State can do, and, you know, is say nothing about the Oregon thing. I mean, it doesn't do any good. Continue to work, continue on its path, where the most important thing that they can do at the moment is make sure that every time that former Senator Mitchell issues a report, it's glowing. And so far, I believe Senator Mitchell has issued 3 reports, and all of them have been glowing. And that's what Penn State can do. They can continue down a path that when Senator Mitchell every 3 months issues a report, it looks better, better, and better. And then we'll see how it plays out. I mean, that's really what Penn State can do right now, and Penn State has been doing its part.